And thank you. And now we are going to listen to God's word. And I'm going to welcome here Brother Serge, who was appointed to share with us God's word. Welcome.
Thank you, Brother Jeremy. Can we appreciate Brother Jeremy for leading us and during this moment? Yeah, that's good. How are you doing? You are so cold today. What is happening? I'm somehow scared by looking at you and I'm wondering, did I miss an information this morning? But I hope we are doing all well and that we are good. Just check again on your neighbor if they are doing well. Just ask them if they are doing well. I want us to confirm that. Thank you. I'd like also to say thank you to the pastoral team for thinking of us so that we can share the word of God this morning. And I'm so glad that I'm standing here as we share the word of God. Can we pray before we dive into the word? God, we say thank you for everything that you are doing in our lives. Thank you because you are good. And thank you because you are love us and you have allowed us to step again in your presence. And we're so glad that you have accepted us the way we are. And we come before you knowing that today it's a new day, a day that will listen again to your word and that will have to speak to our heart, soul, and mind. And I pray that you alone, you will be at the center of this and at the center of this message. May you alone, you speak to your people this morning as they listen to you, in Jesus' name. So I have been appointed today to speak and to share the word of God. And I'm so glad that I am doing this morning. And for the past few weeks, we have been going through a theme entitled God's Covenant Through Jesus, the Foundation of Our Deliverance. And the topic that has been given to me today is grounded in the covenant. Grounded in the covenant. God's great deliverance is often preceded by apparent failure. Grounded in the covenant. God's great deliverance is often preceded by apparent failure. And we'll be reading from Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 17. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 17, this is what the Bible says. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the day of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 score of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with 2 chains between 2 soldiers, and the guard before the door were keeping the prison. Now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. A light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter, and the side of raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chain fell off his hand. Then the angel said to him, "Guard yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real. But though he was seeing a vision, when they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that led to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down on street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and he has delivered me from the hand of the Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." When he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. Verse 15 says, "But they said to her, 'You are beside yourself.' Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, 'It is his angel.' Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to themselves his hand to keep silent, he declared to them, 'Now the Lord had brought him out of the prison.' And he said, 'Go tell these things to James and the brethren.' And he departed and went to another place." If I was to remark, if I was to entitle again this, probably I would have called this a prison break. Why a prison break? Because Peter found himself in a place where he's guarded by a false squad. And by then, a squad was consisted by 12 people. Now make 12 times 4 and then have 2 more guards chained again on you. This was a hard thing to happen. In real life, you can't escape if it's not the angel of the Lord delivering you. And this situation is happening when a church is going through tribulation. When a church is going through tough situation. When a church does not know what to do again. Because this is among the first people who have been killed. They have just come from killing James, who was one of the disciples of Jesus. He has been killed, and then Peter was also taken because the Jews were very glad to see him. The Herod, the king of that time, wanted to show and to please people and kill the leaders of the church. But something different is happening while Peter in prison. And the situation that the church is going through by that time, it's almost the same situation we are going through nowadays. A situation of uncertainty. A situation where security is a problem. A situation where people are killed day and night without reason. This is the same situation that the church is going through by that time. And if we can come close to ourselves, close to in our city, we are going through for the past few weeks, for the past few months, we are going through a tough situation. Weeks have been very tough. Season, the nation is going through a season that is very tough. And in our city, it's said that more than 5,000 people have lost their lives. More than 5,000 people have lost their lives. And families are grieving. Families are crying. Families are going through tough situation. Some of our families don't know where their loved one have been buried. Because they have been buried by people who don't even know them. Some are even right now in hospitals in a tough situation as people. And we are wondering what is happening in our lives. What is happening in our nation? What is happening in our city? What is happening in our lives, in our families, in our churches? But allow us as a church to be able to focus into the Word of God and be able to speak to our situation. That's the role of the church, to speak into the situation we are going through. And then allow me to lead this meditation and to get to know what is God telling us as a church, as a city, as a nation, at such a time like this. A time of pain, a time of hurt, a time of fear. We do not know what will be happening in the next minute. We don't know what will be happening in the next day. Even it has happened like people start saying because of fear, we start saying each and every day, it's a birthday. It's a new year. Seeing tomorrow become a new year because the lifespan of a Congolese in Goma is of one day. We are in a situation that people lives in anxiety. We do not have again hope for tomorrow because we are living one day at a time. But the question is, what is God telling as we go through this situation? What is God telling us? What is God telling you? What is God telling me right now? And to explain this, I will try as best I can to use the illustration with a soccer ball. And I will ask my guys to help me with the soccer ball so that we can speak and see how what the Lord tried to tell us during this situation. I like soccer. Who else likes soccer? Do we have fans of Real Madrid, Barcelona, Liverpool here? Okay. Don't worry, we are not playing with Barcelona today. We are waiting for another day. It will be a good moment. But there is something that I like about this soccer ball. And it will help us understand the situation and what God is calling us, what God is expecting us to do as a church, as a city, and as a nation. If you look closely to the soccer ball, thank you for the media team. I don't know if you are looking, you are seeing very well on this, but let me come close to the one on stage and then I'll be coming back to pick this later. When you look at the soccer ball is constituted by different parts that are knit together. If you can see this, these are small parts of the soccer ball that are well connected together. Soccer ball is made with different parts that are connected one to another for it to make what we call a soccer ball. It's connected with different parts. And these parts have to be well connected for it to be called a soccer ball. But the problem with the soccer ball is without air, this soccer ball cannot be played on a ground. It can't. It needs more things. It needs what we call the air for it to be completed as a soccer ball. Today, if we look at this ball from a church eye, if we can look at the soccer ball with a church eye, what can we see? We will see different parts, different churches. For me, I can see this part as a Baptist church. I can see this as an Anglican church. I can see this as a Catholic church. I can see this as a Muslim. I can see this as different churches that are connected together to make what we call a soccer ball when we look at it with an eye of a church. If we look at it as a country, as a nation, or a different region of a nation, we can see this side probably as North Kivu. We can see this as Kasai. We can see this as South Kivu. We can see this as, which other province do we have I forgotten? I've forgotten even more of them. Yeah, and all of those make what we can call a soccer ball. Let's bring it even closer than that. If we look at it with ethnical eye or with an ethnical lens, we can see different tribes connected together. We can see Lenandes, we can see Leshis, we can see Lehundes, we can see all of them. And for us to have what we call a nation, all these tribes, all these region, all these have to be connected and constitute what we call one, which is a nation. Without one, there is no a nation. Without one province, there is no a nation. Without one tribe in this nation, there is no a nation again. Then there is something wrong with our nation. And the question is, how well are we connected together to make this nation? All of this piece or part must be knit together. They must be connected together for them to be called a soccer ball. And when we connect them, we call it unity. We can speak of a nation. We can speak of a church. We can speak of a country if together we are connected and we are called now a united nation. And the question is, are we united? But I was saying, for this soccer ball to be complete, it has to have an air in it so that we can play it. Otherwise, it will be very hard to play this soccer ball. And for those who keep on watching the soccer, they know when the ball does not have air, they'll have to stop and replace it because they can't continue playing. Allow me to call the air in this soccer ball love. Oh, God himself. And for the next few minutes, or the remaining minute, I'll be talking about unity and love. And when you are reading the Bible, when the scripture we read, the Bible speaking about how people gathered in Mary's house to pray together. They were united and they had a purpose as believers, and they started praying for deliverance of Peter. And the question is, are we united? Can we be united and pray for our nation? Can we be united and pray for what is happening in this city? Or do we have different opinions that even divide us? But why is it good to be united? Why is it good? When you read the Psalm 133, the Bible says, it is good and pleasant for brethren to be together. It is good. It's not a request. The Bible says it is good. And I was trying to understand why David was crying and say, how good. How pleasant. And I found that during that time when David's writing these scriptures, the nation of Israel was divided. Each tribe was looking for its own interest. But they decided to come together. And when they came together, David said, how good it is. It is not only good, but it's also pleasant. It is good and it's pleasant. Why should we be united? It's because the Bible says it is good and it is pleasant. But it continues and says, when people are united, that place is the place where God delivers, commands. Even the fact, this is what the Bible says, it doesn't say that is where God pour. It says that is where God commands his blessings. When we are united, we do no longer need to call for blessing, to ask for blessing, but God himself sees that these people are united and he commands his blessing over us. If you can be, we can be united, God will command his blessing. And his blessing count peace, joy, love, and other blessing, they come when God is blessing us. Why should we be united? The Bible says two are better than one. Two are better than one. When you read Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But who to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up? When we are united, we enjoy this comfort that comes from others. When we are united, we enjoy the warmth that come from others. When we are united, people are standing with us when we are weak. When we are in a position that we can't do anything, when we are united, God does something. And the church was united. The church was united by the time of Peter. And they were praying. Peter was in a position where he could not do anything. But there was behind him, there was an army praying for him day and night. And God commanded his blessing. And Peter was delivered from the enemy. Are we united? Two are better than one. Do you walk alone? God is calling you and I to have someone we are united to. When we are united, we appreciate our differences. Imagine if the church, the entire church, was a Jeremy sitting there. Brother Jeremy, are you okay? Imagine if the church, the entire choir, had the same character with Jeremy. Imagine if the entire church has the character of Isaac. Imagine if the entire church was having the character of Serge. It will be a chaos. But when God calls us, he gives us different things. He gives us different blessings. He gives us different skills. And he calls us to enjoy the diversity. But he wants us to be diverse in unity. We enjoy the different cultures. We enjoy the different things that we can see in us. God wants us to be united, to be connected as the different part of this soccer ball. We enjoy also a social connection. Isn't it good just to sit here and worship together? We had the possibility to stay at home alone and pray from there. But we are united and we are connected. And we have this feeling that we are enjoying the God together. You could pray at your home alone. You could stay at home alone and pray. And God would have answered and listened to your prayer. But you decided to come and worship with others. That is what we call a social connection. We enjoy. But in John 17 verse 20 to 21, there is something that Jesus is doing before his betrayal, before he's betrayed. And Jesus is praying. And he says, Father, I pray that these people may be one as we are one with you. God is praying for unity. And the question that I want to ask you this morning, are you the answered prayer of Jesus? Or you are that unanswered prayer who want to stay alone in a corner, who want to be isolated? But my prayer today also, I pray that God will make you his answered prayer. Let's talk about love. And I'll not delay in this. John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What I keep on saying is this. In heaven, there is no a factory that was producing a lot of Jesus. No. In heaven, there are no Jesus, a lot of Jesuses, that God decided and say, no, the world has suffered a lot, and I pick one of my Jesuses and send him to the world to save them. No. Jesus gave his only and only begotten son. The one. Imagine have that one trouser that you can wear on Sunday, but you choose to give it to someone so that you can walk naked. That is what Jesus, God is doing. He's giving his only begotten son. The only begotten son. If he had 10, we would have said, it's okay. He will remain with 9. If he had 3, we'll say, it's okay. He can remain with the 2 Jesus in heaven and everything will be okay. But he decided to give the only one and say, go and die and show love. And God gives the love. He gives the only person he had and say, for the love of the world, go. And the question today is, do we love one another? Can we love to a point of giving the only remaining thing that we've been having and give it out? Jesus did not see, God did not see a lot of Jesus, but he saw people that could be redeemed by giving himself out. And that is you and I. And he's requesting that we can be on a position of loving one another to that point. 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hope, always persevere. But the question, do we mind about others? When you wake up early in the morning, do you communicate hope for those who are reading your status? What do you communicate on your status? What do we post on our social medias? The Bible continues saying this. When Peter was released, he went to the Mary's house, and a lady called Rhoda, when she saw him, she did not even open. She did not open the gate. She did not open the door. But one thing that she did, she ran again inside and brought a message of hope. Peter has been released. He's free. What message do you communicate in the morning when you wake up? Are you the one bringing fear to those reading your status by communicating what brings troubles? Or are you the one bringing the good message to the rest of the world? It's a chaos. Yes, we are living in a chaos world. We are living in a chaos nation, in a chaos city. But the message, what you say, what you post, what you believe in, have an impact in what is happening right now. Allow me to go for the conclusion. I was saying, this ball is well connected. This ball is well united. But there is something that I call air that is missing in it. And it makes this ball to not be completed, because we can't use it. We can't use it. And this is the challenge. When this ball drops down, it remains down. Can I say it again? When this ball, despite the height it comes from, when it drops down, it remains down. Let me say it again. This ball that is well connected, well united, everything is, seems to be good with it. Despite the height, when it drops down, it remains down. Let me take this one. This is a complete ball, well connected with air in it, well connected with God in it. When it drops down, it bounces and comes back. It bounces and comes back. In fact, the harder it drops down with air in it, the harder it drops down, it bounces again higher. The harder it drops, it bounces and comes back. And I want to communicate to you this morning, despite the challenge that we are going through, despite the challenge we are going through, if we are united, if we are connected, and God is with us, we will drop down, but we will rise again. It doesn't matter how your family, the situation your family is going through, as long as you are with God, you will drop down, but you will come up. Our nation is on a lower season. But if we are connected and with God in us, we will drop down, but we will still standing. And I pray that you and I will be the one bringing the message of hope, the message telling people we may be down, but remain hopeful that we will rise again. Can we be on our feet as we pray? The situation you are going through will not keep you down. You may probably have lost your job. You may probably have lost hope. You may probably have gone through tough situation and you do no longer believe that things will be okay. But God is telling you and I right now, believe in me. I am the air in that soccer ball, and I will raise you up again. And I want us to go in prayer. I want you to pray for yourselves. Ask God to restore that hope that you had lost. Ask God to connect us again, to unite us again. As the church was united, let us ask God with a purpose and say, God, we believe that you are with us and that you'll never let us down. Can you just raise your voice in prayer and just speak to God this morning? God, we're so grateful. We're so grateful because you love us. We're so grateful because you know us and you know the situation we are going through. We're so grateful because you ask us this morning to be the rudders of our generation, the people who will bring the message of hope despite the situation we are going through, oh God. And you continue and say, you may be hard pressed from every side, but you'll never be crushed down. You may be oppressed, you may be crushed, but you'll never remain down. God, and this morning we come before you knowing that you are God, the God who deliver, the God who healed, the God who transform. And God, my prayer this morning is that you'll teach us to be united. You'll teach us to love one another despite our challenges, despite the diversity in this nation, despite the things that are going through. Teach us to be connected and connect us with the rope that is you, oh God. Because you are the one who knows how to link people. And we pray that you alone will continue to connect us as a nation. That you alone will continue to bring unity in our lives, oh God, in this city, among the 4,400 and something numbers of tribe that you'll united as and as a nation, that we'll never be alone or feel that we are alone. But we pray not only be connected, but we pray that you alone will be at the center of it all, oh God. You'll be the air we breathe. You'll be the air we breathe, oh God, so that we may live for your glory. And with a time, at times such as this, where we feel that we are hurt, we are in pain, we pray that you alone will restore us. I pray for someone who feels like he's low right now, and he doesn't know how even to stand again. I pray for the church that has to communicate the message of hope and love, that you'll teach us, oh God, the word that are necessary for us during this season. And God, we cry unto you, knowing that you, who is the air we breathe, you will restore us to our position. God, we say thank you. We praise you and we love you, because we know that you'll never forsake us. You'll never abandon us. And you are with us. We believe in you and we trust in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.